Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, Director of the Comlock Center, and my guest co-hosts tonight are Dr. Betty Kovach, author of Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World, and The Miracle of Death, There's Nothing But Life, as well as Janet Mayer, a Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present. The theme of our last Thursday of the month Signs of Life radio show is your personal experiences. As you know, many of us have personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking. So join us tonight as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, how we can integrate them into our daily lives. Although mediums play a valuable connection to the deceased, this center shows around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. And if you can grab a pen and paper, I'd like to give you the two telephone numbers that you may call in to share your stories with us tonight. 1-323-744-4831 and 1-888-627-6008. We welcome you to our show. Janet?
Good evening. Hi, we wanted to begin with news to our listeners in case you are unaware that our co-founder of Forever Family Foundation, Fran Ginsberg, has passed away. She passed away 2 days ago on September 22nd from pancreatic cancer. Now, first and foremost, Fran was my friend. She was our friend. She was the director of Forever Family Foundation and the co-founder of Forever Family Foundation. Her love to help others and the journey through grief was a passion born out of her own personal experiences. She was all about change. You know, I think about her all the time with that. She was always open to any conversation with anyone and about with anyone with a loved one who is crossing over or any kind of transition. A big word that Bob always used for Fran was her passion. She had such passion for the well-being of her family, which he's mentioned, the passion of health and prosperity of her friends, and passion for all those who suffered injustice. And, you know, I think about anyone who knew her was touched by her drive and her love to help others. You know, she will be forever missed on this plane. We know she is burning up the afterlife and getting everybody in shape. And, you know, and if you didn't already know, one thing I'd like to say is she has helped thousands of people with everything that she developed and created through Forever Family Foundation. And to me, she is just an amazing soul and a friend that I just love. Kim?
And I adore Fran. I first met her through communications regarding Betty's book, The Miracle of Death, because Dr. Arthur Hastings, who was an academic at a university in Northern California, had referred me to Bob Ginsberg. So I remember staying up late one night and hitting every email box that was available on Forever Family Foundation's website. By the way, it's www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And writing the same message because I didn't know where in there I'd be able to connect with Bob. And about a week or so later, I wrote to follow up, and Fran wrote me this message explaining that they were an all-volunteer organization and that they had hundreds of emails every day that they needed to respond to. And our friendship blossomed from there. She is just much loved, much admired, much treasured, much missed already. And she, I'm sure, is still full of life and creativity and bold ideas. And I'm just very grateful to have met her and look forward, actually. We had thought about doing some programs together, Janet and Betty and I, at the Comlock Center and Forever Family Foundation. And the umbrella for our projects was awakening to soul. So I kind of think of that as a portal for me personally at this time, because I haven't had such experiences as those some listeners and Betty and Janet will be speaking of tonight. But perhaps it's my initiation now that my dear friend has crossed over. And Betty?
You know, I met Fran and Bob. I can still remember arriving in New York. They met us at the airport, and they were downstairs. We were coming down the stairs, and there they were. And they invited me to speak at one of their first conferences in New York on grief, probably to calm Kim down. And we just got to know each other and talked and shared our experiences, and we just have loved them ever since. And the one thing, if I were to choose all the things that were amazing about Fran, one thing is that she was just filled with creative ideas. She would get an idea, and you think, oh, that's really great. But she already had a plan of how to manifest it, how to put it into action. So we really appreciated that. And I think she's still going to be working with us. She'll be working with Bob. I am sure they had a beautiful and great love affair for so, so many years. And our hearts are certainly with him. But I think they're going to still be working together.
And
we probably will do that program, Awakening to Soul, along with many others. So this is an evening that we certainly wanted to start with expressing our love, our appreciation for Fran. She has certainly made an imprint on our hearts and on many people's hearts and has helped so many. So we really want to honor her tonight.
Yes, we definitely do.
And to go along with what you had said, you know, some words that I heard her mention many times throughout these years is to be involved in projects that are for the greater good. You know, she didn't have much patience for people who were out in the world maneuvering, trying to take advantage of people who were bereaved and looking for answers. And she just really wanted to just always come back to the greater good and the true mission that they have to help people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So one example of that is that I had a vision. I think I mentioned it on this program some time ago. I had a vision when we were in New York of Kim's subtle body. I mean, I actually saw it and felt the energy of it. And so I wrote Fran about that. And she wrote right back and had a plan. And that was formation of the Visionary Explorers, which 6 years later, we are still meeting every second Saturday morning. Well, morning here in L.A. And if you are interested in such a group, it's a group of people get together who want to share experiences like we do on this radio show that they wouldn't feel comfortable necessarily sharing somewhere else or with just someone that might not be interested. So we've just had a wonderful time with people who really need to talk with someone and explore their own inner visionary experiences. And if you were interested in such a coming together, you could write Kim
at visions@kamlak.com. That's visions@kamlak.com. And I can give you some information on how to join the group.
Yes, and that's all thanks to Fran.
It is.
Right.
It is. No shortage of creativity there.
I know.
Right, right. Well, that's just it. I mean, she, you know, had developed so many different ideas and programs, and like you said, she already had a plan in place, and she would be going 95 in 5 different directions. Nobody could keep up with her.
Right.
And I know she is.
I want her to be a model, and that they'll just try to model that kind of energy and creativity.
Yes.
And confidence.
Yes.
And confidence.
And, you know,
right.
She didn't think small.
No, she did not.
No limit.
Go big or go home.
Right. That's right. That's right. What a wonderful woman.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Well, this made me think of a story because, you know, it's so personal with, you know, because we've loved Fran so much and she's such a dear friend. And I was thinking of, you know, what sharing a story this month, what would I want to share? And, you know, it led me to believe, you know, the story of my father-in-law and his passing. And it's one of those things that, you know, the way it happens, it's just the way it plays out, you just see it like moving in slow motion. And it started off where, you know, he was sick and he went into the hospital and his lungs were bad and he needed to have surgery, but his heart was bad, so he couldn't have surgery on his lungs because of his heart, and his heart was bad and he couldn't have surgery on that because of his lungs. Mm-hmm. And so there really was no way out for him, and it was going to only be a matter of time. Well, during this time, and I believe this was in my 20s, I would wake up every morning, and one of the first things I did, you know, was I would meditate. And as I meditate, I would start journaling. And journaling is basically just writing down your thoughts, writing down what's coming through, anything you're feeling or seeing or whatever is coming. And I would just get into this zone because I would start off with a meditation, and then I would begin the journaling. And I would just write. And half the time I didn't even really pay attention that much to what I wrote. It was getting it out of my head. Like, one thing I always say is, if you're trying to learn to meditate and you can't, write everything down that's coming through, because it kind of clears out the cobwebs and it leaves it open for whatever needs to come through. And so I was doing that, and all of a sudden I stopped and I thought, well, how is Paul today? Just in my head, I just stopped. And Paul was my father-in-law, and I said, how's Paul today? And with that, my hand wrote, he's going to die today. Oh, and I literally just threw my pen and sat there and started shaking and crying. And it just hit me out of the blue, like, oh, my gosh, I mean, where did that come from? How did that happen? You know, and it was one of those things that, you know, I would get bits and pieces all along anyway, you know, in days and weeks and months. And it was just like I stopped and I thought, oh, my gosh, what do I do? Do I call my husband? What should I say? You know, and with that, the phone rang. And it was my husband saying he got a call from the hospital. Everybody needed to get up there. So, of course, I already knew. And, you know, they basically were telling them that it was possible. And when we got up there, the nurse had told us a story that morning he was complaining about all the kids in the room. To get the kids out of the room, they're making too much noise, there's kids in the room. And, you know, everybody was like, oh, you know, and what we found out was that was a really big sign at that hospital and in that ICU unit that a lot of times the patients would see children playing in the room and then they would pass. And so the nurse, when she heard that he had seen these kids, she had called everyone to come up. And so we were all up there and, you know, we kind of held the vigil throughout the day. And, you know, it's one of those where you can only visit for, you know, 10 minutes every hour. And so we were taking turns, and there were a lot of us. You know, there's five kids and spouses, and so we were going in and out. And towards the evening, I went in, and they were only allowing two, but they kind of would let a third one in. So I would sneak in, and I was in there with, you know, my mother-in-law and a sister-in-law, and they were sitting, and I was kind of leaning against the wall and just, you know, having my thoughts and you know, sending him love and, you know, on to the next journey. And they had their heads down, and suddenly I saw him sit up and, like, step off out of the bed. And I just jumped, and then they jumped because they looked at me, and then he kind of fell backwards. And I was like, did you see that? And they're like, see what? I'm like, did you see that? Did you see? You know, he just got up. He walked away, and they kind of looked at me really weird, and I was like, never mind. And I didn't know what to say. And it was in that moment I'm like, I just saw something so amazingly beautiful. I got to see him leave his body, which still chokes me up. And, I mean, I knew, and I think it was like about maybe an hour later that, you know, his body finally, that was it. And we were all together in another room, and, you know, we were able to be there to see this. But it was really, you know, a moment for me that I had never, ever experienced because, you know, I was in my 20s. I had never seen anything like that. And it was one of those things that I just sat there and I thought, thank you for letting me see that. You got up and walked away. You went on. You went forward. You know, you went to your loved ones and family. And it was just something that has always been with me in my heart, and I've always been really grateful. And he was this big bear of a guy. I mean, my mother-in-law used to give him trouble and say, quit giving those big hugs to Janet. And he goes, she's tiny. I can squeeze her. And he would just, like, hug me really tight like a bear hug. And we would laugh and everything. And I just thought, here was this man that, you know, I got to see this and see who he was and experience his passing, but it was so beautiful. And, you know, a lot of people...
That's when he stepped out of his body, even though his body didn't die?
Yes.
Actually die for another hour? Do you think that's when he left it, his spirit left it?
Oh, I believe it totally, 100%. I think I saw him walk right out, and it, you know, and that's what was left was just the body, because we aren't a body, we are a soul in a body. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to see, I mean, I saw his soul just walk right out, and then his body was there, and I knew it. I knew that after that moment that he was not there. I just, you know, you just knew. And, you know, and then they came in, and they were like, okay, you know, it's now it's about time, and then we all gathered together, and it was like I stood there, and I'm like, no, I already saw him leave. It's just, you know, now we're just waiting. And it was, you know, not to be weird, but it was a beautiful experience, and I was very honored to see it because I knew he was fine. He got up and left. He's like, yeah, I'm out of here, you know, and he moved on.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of the children?
I don't know. You know, I've questioned that many times. I've always wondered because I've always thought, well, could they have been there a long time ago before the hospital was built there? Because I don't think that, you know, the hospital wasn't all that old. And I thought maybe it was the land. Was that part of, like, you know, residual energy? Or could it actually have been maybe that was their way of cheering up, you know, the people who knew they were ready to come over and giving them some extra energy, and, you know, maybe some people would love the children. And he was just like, no, they're too noisy. Get them out of here, you know.
That's so interesting. You know, it's just such an interesting question.
Yeah, but, and it's really interesting because they have said that's happened many times in that ICU unit, and it's in that specific area, that specific unit. And I was kind of like, in a way, it was a blessing that the nurse immediately knew and called us, which, you know, gave us all an opportunity to say bye.
I love that. I love that she was sensitive to that. It's interesting, too, to think about the spirit leaving the body. With my son, we had several visions with him after the physical death of the body, but also there was a person who was very psychic, and I had never met her, but my students had told me about her, and I called her, and she said that it was about a week before he actually passed, that the physical body actually died, and she said he is out of his body, he can't get back in it, because the kundalini line of energy is severed at the neck. So he's kind of jokingly said, I'd like to get back in so that I could tell him what's going on, but he couldn't. And I thought that was interesting that he must have been out of his body really a week before the actual body died. And, of course, he was on many machines keeping that body alive. But then another psychic told me that she saw him. In fact, two of them did. Two of them saw the same thing. He sent an image of him sitting by a lake, just tossing stones across the lake. It was as though he was just kind of in between, and he couldn't quite give up this passing of this life and go to the next one. But then when he did realize what was going on, then his soul went to the next life, and he was then very joyful. In fact, my husband had an image of him after a week after his memorial, and he saw him just absolutely filled with joy. In fact, he was dancing on a cosmic piano, making the most beautiful cosmic music, and that was so healing for my husband because it took the sadness, this horrible sadness, away, at least temporarily. And I was interested that someone, Janet, remember someone said that she had experienced or had seen Fran on the day of her passing, and she was just filled with joy.
Yes.
So I think it's so important for us to remember those experiences and images of the actually passing into the other dimension where it is filled with love and light and joy.
Right, and that's so true. And the thing is, like you said, we're on this side left without him. So, of course, there's going to be sorrow and, you know, we're going to be upset. But we have to remember that, you know, they're happy. They're out of their pain, or they're out of, you know, whatever situation, or, you know, they're moving on and moving forward, and they're in a happy place. And, you know, and it's the interesting thing, too, like I look at it from a perspective, you know, of a medium is, I think all of us, any medium will see something, you know, we may see the same, but we might also see it a little differently because of the way, you know, we were raised, or the way we understand it and the way we see something. And so,
right.
You know, it's kind of interesting, too, that, you know, like even though I know Fran is in a good place. It's still really difficult. You know what I mean?
It is. It is because she was a part of our lives, and it's that is has changed. And I think we have to learn other ways of communicating, which you're so good at, Janet, but other ways of communicating with them and working with them. So many who go to the other side really do work with us here. I had certainly the feeling with my husband and my son that when they passed over, that they wanted to make it clear that they were still working on the same project. And certainly Fran is just so passionate about her work here that I certainly feel she's going to be, she and Bob will be working together, and she'll be working with others on the foundation.
Sure. Right, right. And, you know, and definitely I think, too, you know, and that's one reason, too, like with the show is, you know, having callers, you know, to call in and tell a story. You know, everybody has their own individual story. And sometimes, you know, you go to share a story and you think, oh, that doesn't sound right, but I know how it felt. You know, I know how it felt. And, you know, and I mean, you know, I'm going to share the story that yesterday this happened, and I was actually talking to Fran out loud, you know, and I was saying, you know, Fran, I really miss you, and I know you're going to give all of us signs, so I expect them whenever you want to give it. No pressure, but I expect it. And with that, my husband's car alarm went off, and it started blaring, and you know, and I ran out of the kitchen, you know, through the laundry room into the garage. I'm like, what are you doing? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, I was putting something away and the dolly fell over and it hit the side of me and it must have hit my keys and the alarm went off. And I just started laughing and I'm like, okay, that could be really good or it could be a coincidence, but we're going to just take it and we're going to run with it and we'll wait for the next one, you know? And I think it's just something like that, that it gives us, you know, it just gives us that little bit of push and a little bit of happiness of that's her, you know, that's what she's going to do. And I think it just warms your heart. I guess that's a good way to say it.
That's right. So. Indeed, it is. That's great, Janet. And I had written to you about one I had yesterday morning, too. I was in the exercise room in the house, and I had gone into my bedroom, and I heard a thud, and I thought, did I just smack my elbow on the door jamb or what? I didn't realize I hit anything, so I didn't know what the heck it was. And then a couple of minutes later, I walked into my office, and my heavy glasses case was sitting in the middle of the carpet. And I thought, no, that's not where it was before. But I thought, Fran, I said, you, Fran? I wasn't too sure, but my just eyes are wide open and peeled for attention to receive whatever shall
come.
But
it would be, how did it get in the middle of the floor? Because if it had dropped, it would have made a noise before.
That's right. And it was one of those big clunky ones that, you know, you don't really like carrying in your purse because of the extra weight. And it wasn't there when I had been in the room a few minutes earlier. And there was nowhere near it when I heard the thud.
Right, so and you know what else is? There also is a message maybe within the message. You know, it's a glass case, glasses. Are you looking? What are you seeing? You know, are you seeing me? And I look at it like that, and like with the horn, you know, it's like, I'm here, I'm blasting, I'm still here, I'm, you know, going to town. And I think that, you know, I always look for the message within the message. And I think
if
everybody kind of does that, and even when you're just thinking it's something small, you know, there's always something there that you can just open up to and say, you know, is there something more here, or do I need to know? And I like that because it kind of takes you in a little deeper and makes you have maybe a little deeper experience even, you know?
Right. Well, and we're so accustomed, and it's been our training almost, oh, don't make anything of that, that's just a coincidence, or don't pay attention. But no, we should pay attention to all of it and then do exactly as you say, ask, what is the story within the story? What is the meaning within the meaning? And just be open. You know,
right.
We don't have to be dogmatic about it being Fran or whatever, but but Kim, you were going to give the number again?
Yes.
We hope that
listeners.
People will call in.
Yes, sure.
Area code 323-744-4831 or area code 888-627-6008. If you'd like to call and share a personal experience of your own, we would love to hear as well as other listeners. So pick up that phone.
Yeah. Well, we have there's so many stories. I mean, I was thinking too the other day that there's, you know, actually last month when they were talking about a couple books, like Dave King came on, and I was thinking, you know, there's another book out there that's been out there for a pretty long time, but it has a lot of really wonderful stories in it, and that's Diane Arkangel's Afterlife Encounters. And I was thinking about that, and then I thought, you know, the first time I met her when I was with Fran and Bob. And, you know, Diane Arkangel.
Yes, in New York. I haven't met her in New York, yeah, with Fran and Bob.
Oh, and she and I met her one time in New York. And it was really cool because, I mean, she's really fun. And, I mean, she's really a happy person. And she was talking about this book. And actually, you know, I'm going to be up front. You know, I got to tell you right away, I am in the back of the book. But the front of the book, it's mainly stories about afterlife encounters. And it says, ordinary people and extraordinary experiences. And, you know, it's really great because it's kind of really in line with what the show is about. It's supposed to be about anybody who wants to call in with a story that of anything that has, you know, happened from a loved one and when they transitioned, or, you know, something really, you know, I guess eye-opening or a great extraordinary. Oh, okay. Well, let's listen to her first.
Okay. Marilyn, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you so much. So my daughter died about a year and a half ago, and it's just been an extremely painful, and I was just not able to fully, like, accept it for a long time, and you know, I have like a grieving counselor, and she said to me, she said, just be open to, you know, seeing things or accepting things, or, you know, just any messages that you might have. And so the other day when I was at the pool, I was just doing some exercise and going back and forth. And, all of a sudden in my left eye, I saw a picture of my daughter when she was a little girl. And it was like her favorite picture. And I just knew that she was around me, and it just really took me back. And it's just been so hard to be open to it that I feel like it's a step forward. And I'm hoping that maybe you can give me some guidance on how I can open myself to, you know, just receiving more from her, just to know that she's okay and that, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's Janet. Do you have something to say about that?
Well, I think it sounds like, I mean, from what it sounds like you just said, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Is I think your grief counselor is exactly spot on with being open and staying open to what is going on around you. And I always like to tell, whenever I get something like that, I just silently thank them. You know, when you see that, just say, you know, thank you, you know, because what that does, it makes them aware, too, on the other side, that you got that, you saw something, you're catching something, you know, and I mean, because sometimes, I mean, if, you know, somebody does something for you and you don't say thank you, or it's like when you ring the doorbell, if you don't answer it, they're going to walk away, but, and right. I mean, don't get me wrong, they will eventually come back, but then they have to keep trying, and so if you acknowledge it, and you're acknowledging when something happens like that, what you're doing is you're opening that door like a little bit wider, and you keep opening, and it's kind of like you've now opened that door, so you now know, you get that feel a little bit of what it feels like. You see something, you know that how that looks to you, and I think just keep staying open is a really, you know, is really big.
Okay. I know that was, oh, I'm sorry, that was like her favorite picture.
Wow. Repeat that again, Marilyn?
That was her favorite picture. I just know it in my heart. Uh-huh. And when she was a
I'm
little
sure it
girl.
Was. I mean, and that's beautiful, you know, and I think that's important, though, to make sure that, you know, you're recognizing. I mean, and the thing is we all recognize something in our own way, and you know in your heart what it is already. So that's important, and you're acknowledging that, you know, kind of out to the universe. And I think that's like, you know, acknowledging it. It's like when we put our light out there, they see that. They know when we really need them. We know when there's the moment is right, when the moment is open, that's when they come in. And I think that's what happened with you. And I think that's, you know, that's beautiful.
Yes, and it's a beautiful thing, too, that she's just saying, here I am. She's actually appearing. You see an image of her. What a wonderful way to let you know she's there. And as in life, we always want to present the best picture of ourselves.
It's true.
It was kind of a sweet, loving thing to present the picture that she really cared for. I think, too, is that it's just good to take some time to be by yourself, to allow some silence, and so that there's a space and a way for that to come in. Sometimes, though, it is true that it's in the midst of a lot of things that's going on that it sneaks in between in the empty spaces. But I did find that sometimes just being alone and allowing the space for that to come in, I think that I've mentioned this before, that in our time, we're working against so much negative energy because of our culture's worldview for hundreds of years that there isn't anything. It's nothing but matter. And that when we die, it's over. That is in the atmosphere, and I think it makes it more difficult sometimes if that's anywhere in our consciousness or unconsciousness. And it is, because it's been our culture for so long, that we have to maybe have more energy, more confidence, to really allow ourselves to hear and to receive from the other side. They're there, and they certainly want to. And I think you have a wonderful beginning.
Well, thank you. I just have one more question, and my question is sometimes I feel like she's saying something, but then how do I know that it was really her saying it?
I think if you feel it and you know it's her, I think that it is her saying something. And I think what you can also do is ask her to show it to you in another way. Say, okay, I feel like you're coming through. I don't know if I'm quite getting it. Can you show me in another way? And maybe that will open the door, too, to, you know, you receiving something a little more. Or if you, like, sit in, you know, people hate when I say meditation because people are like, I can't do that. I don't want to do it. And that's okay. You don't have to meditate. But try to find that space, like Betty said, too, that quiet space. Or, you know, if you were going to the pool or somewhere that's comforting to you, something you enjoy, something you like, maybe you like to go sit in the park, you know, we go sit in the park and just connect with her and see what comes through. And sometimes, you know, there might be days that nothing will come through, but there might be a day something else will come through and you'll think, oh, my gosh, did I really get that? And you'll be like, yes, I did get that. It is her. She is coming through. And I think that is a big thing, too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with Janet about the feeling, because we now know, even scientifically, that feeling is a way of knowing. And if you feel that, then that is your answer. But I have to say that I had experiences of receiving information, and I would think to myself, well, I must have made that up. That's so strange. Why would I come up with that? And sometimes, much later, I would read something in which someone else had had an experience and had described it with the same words that I received from him. Yeah. And I just was amazed, because I kind of harbored the notion that maybe I had made that up, although I couldn't figure out why I would have made it up. But many, many times I doubted it, and then later I realized, oh, that was real. That was what it was.
That's true.
Okay. Because sometimes I'm like just wondering, am I just saying it to myself, or is it really
that's
coming
to call us what we do?
But well, that's kind of, you know what, and that's, honestly, that's kind of how close it is. Does that make sense to you?
I'm sorry. Everyone was talking.
Oh. Yeah. What'd you say?
I was going to say sometimes that's how it is, that it seems like it's almost nothing. It feels like it's so vague at times, and then as soon as you grasp it, it kind of blooms, and all of a sudden it's there, and you it's gone. It's that quick, like a blink of an eye, and you think, and you do, you question yourself, did I really get that? Did I really feel that? Did I really see that? But then it kind of lingers, and if you're still thinking about it, to me that tells me it was, because it's there in a little bit different space than everything normal around you.
Okay. And the beautiful thing is that you're learning
and going through the difficulties of how to communicate with the other side and with someone you love on the other side. And it is a process. I think we become better at it and more confident.
Right, and she's becoming better at communicating with you as well. And I just want to say, too, that it's great you have a therapist who is open to helping
exactly.
support you through the experiences you are having rather than to define them for you or maybe discourage you in any way. So it's a real extra boost of support
yeah.
in life. That safe space to share it,
mm-hmm.
for starters. And then kudos to you tonight for sharing it here mm-hmm. as well.
And it's interesting,
well,
too,
really...
that there aren't... Marilyn, did you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that she sort of came to me by default because the therapist that I did have moved to Texas or somewhere, and then she said, look, I'm going to recommend you to this person, and then this person just is opening me up to all this.
That's so good fit. And, you know, there's such different ways of communicating. Like last week, I don't know, Marilyn, whether you listened last week, but Dave Kane,
you mean last month?
Last month, yeah, not last week. Last month, Dave Kane spoke about the death of his son in the fire and the kinds of signs they received from the son. And it just had to do over, and in fact, I bought his book, and I would recommend it, 41 Signs of Hope, that there were so many experiences in which the number 41 appeared. And that was his son's number. Even he had a picture of him when he was a baby with a little cap on it and it had number 41 on it. But after his passing, there were just dozens of experiences. And that was his way of communicating with that number. So it's just different ways, different techniques.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that is really nice. That is really nice. And, you know, so thank you. Do you think that I would benefit and I'd have, like, more of an opening if I maybe would, you know, seek out, like, a medium, you know?
That's for you, Janet.
Well, that is up to you. You have to do what you feel is right. But I personally think that you were guided to that second grief counselor because it ended up opening you up in a whole new way. So I already think that you're on your road, and I think that that's really great. And I would just continue right now to keep opening up and being aware and making yourself aware. And even if you feel like journaling, do that, you know, and write these down when you have these incidents. It's because a big thing that happens, and I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but if you start writing down when you have something like that happen, and you date it and time it, and then something else happens, there starts to become a little bit of a pattern that you start to see something a little more that you might not have noticed, but it also gives you the confidence that you realize you actually are having these experiences, and you have them written down. And by, you know, a couple months down the line, you might see, you know, maybe you'll have one, maybe you'll have two or three. And sometimes it's almost, you know, eye-opening to yourself to realize, oh, my gosh, there's really something going on here. And I have this written down, so it's not like I kind of remember it and I'm not sure. I don't know a date. I don't know a time. I mean, if you do that, you have it written down, and then you can go back and look at it, and you have your evidence that you wrote yourself, you know. And that gives you, you know, that'll give you something to make sure that to push you forward as well, to continue to have that relationship and to be open and to say, okay, what was I feeling around these times? Was I doing something specific? Was I, you know, sitting by a tree every time? Was I walking by the pool? What was I doing that maybe there's a connection of how I feel when this happens? So that will kind of give you some clues as well.
You know, I think, too, Marilyn, that it will give you all that Janet says, give you confidence. And I think if you think of yourself, you are the mother. I mean, you gave birth to the child, you were with her, you had a deep relationship, and who better to have a conversation with from the other side than the mother? I just think that all that, and there's a whole language that she can use with you or symbols, and everybody has that ability, and you were in the process now of honing yours and bringing it into being.
And I think going to a medium is fine as long as you don't give up your own process, you know, of communicating.
Yeah. Right. And I think a lot of people go to mediums because they haven't been able to yet break through. And receive and transmit the communications themselves.
And they get evidence that there is something.
Yeah, and get encouragement.
Yeah, right. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. Okay. We really appreciate hearing from you, and I'm sure our listeners did too.
And we just hope and send you so much care and concern and blessings and support for this relationship and this communication.
Thank you so much. A lot of what you said makes a lot of sense and really is helping me towards moving forward. I love the writing down thing, and I'm really glad that you said to write down the time, because I thought about the number thing and maybe something with the numbers will jive. So I think really excellent. Thank you so much. It's moving me forward.
Excellent. Good. That's wonderful, Marilyn. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, and God bless you all.
You too.
Yeah.
Bye. If anyone else would like to give us a call, please try 323-744-1 or 888-627-6008.
It sounded like there was someone else.
Sounded like Dawn was going to announce a call. Anyway.
Yes.
No,
I see. Okay, thank you. The caller was released. So anyway, 323-744-4831 or 888-627-6008. We have about 15 minutes, just a little shy of 15 minutes left on tonight's Signs of Life Radio, your personal stories night.
Yes, I think it's so important for us to remember that there is such a much larger picture of reality than we are aware of or perhaps can be aware of. But so much, I think, is going on when a person passes from this dimension into another. And I think the dreams or the visions or the signs are so important. And I like what you said, Janet. If we write them down, we begin to keep the narrative. And sometimes I haven't seen a connection until much later. And I'll give an example of that. In the year that my son did pass in an automobile accident, he had a dream, and it was a large dream. I think I told part of it once, but the part I don't think I told was that in the beginning of the dream, he saw hundreds of white lit candles burning, and he himself was chanting. And he said, I was chanting in a higher voice, and I had quite a powerful chorus with me. And he told me the dream the next morning, because in the dream he actually was killed in a crash. We talked a little bit about it, but then the very first, it was over a year later, that he did pass. And the first vision that I had with him was of a powerful chorus. And it seemed in the vision they were Native Americans, but they were spiraling around the earth, and they were very powerful beings who were coming to the earth and being born on the earth in order to help us through this very, very difficult time, and to reclaim our ability as human beings to be deep spiritual beings connected with the other side. But I didn't even think of a connection between a powerful chorus and my son's dream. But later I realized, you know, that was very interesting. The first vision after his death was a very powerful chorus, and they were chanting, and they were also chanting. I knew intuitively that they were saying that our brothers and sisters on the earth are dreaming a terrible dream. And I knew that they meant that we had severed ourselves from that dimension, and now we were going to learn how to reconnect and be whole again.
Beautiful.
Wow.
It took me almost a year to make, or several years to make that connection.
Wow, but that's a powerful connection, too. And that's true, though. I mean, you know, we look at it as time, or that time, you know, we're in time, so we don't pay attention all the time to it. but they're making the connection, you know, from when he had that dream to afterwards when you had it, and it is a powerful connection. And it's like there was no time between that in a way, you know what I mean?
That's true. In one sense, there wasn't. That's true.
And, well, and I think, too, you know, when, you know, I was telling, you know, Marilyn about journaling, I think it's important for a lot of people, too. It's, you know, in a way, I always look at it as it's healing. Because, you know, when I had started, I did it a lot because I was having so many visions. And I literally thought, I'm like, I must be going crazy. Or I couldn't have thought that. Oh, I must be crazy. And it just was constantly, I would have these thoughts that I'm like, where are they coming from? And finally, I just started writing it down. And I realized that there was a lot going on. And it was really, an eye-opener for me. But it was really healing in the sense of, it kind of showed me that I had this path before me that I wasn't paying attention to, and spirit was making sure I would pay attention. And so they were going to get through to me whatever way they could. And I realized that as soon as that started happening, that when I paid attention, the energy changed. And it was really amazing because it taught me that, you know, by paying attention, and that's why I always say this, I know every month, and I'm sure people are probably tired of hearing me say pay attention, but it's a really important factor when you're making a connection with a loved one on the other side who's transitioned, and you're trying to make a connection with someone is, you know, I'm not saying walk around all day, every day like that, but just kind of be open, you know, let them know, hey, I'm open, and when it's time and you need to let me know something, you know, that's when they're going to slip in. And if you write it down, you start to see a pattern, and it goes from there. But I think that it's a really beautiful thing that you can look back on also and see kind of the journey that you're going through, and you start seeing a pattern, or you see what's happening, and it kind of can be really comforting and healing at the same time.
It is, and you cannot remember everything you've experienced. I know I used to think, well, I'll never forget that, but I did write it down, and I have found things that I have written, and I had not remembered. And I was so glad that I had written it down because it encouraged me and inspired me and helped me to see the picture more clearly. But I really wouldn't have remembered it, not in that detail.
Right, right. So, I mean, I think it's just, you know, it's kind of like another tool in the spiritual toolbox that you can use to be open to your loved ones on the other side. And I think that, you know, there's different ways for everybody, you know, and anybody that you talk to who has, you know, like any medium in Forever Family Foundation, they all come from a little different point of view. Everybody comes from a little different angle from what they've experienced, and they have a lot of different ways to, you know, connect and with someone. And I just think that it's really, you know, from my angle, I love the fact that we've had that opportunity, or I have that opportunity when you get to connect to someone that you love, because it does kind of, you know, it not only opens the door for a little bit more, but it kind of also, it kind of lets go of something within you to make you realize, you know, that we are really more just a soul and a spirit body, and we have so much more available to us that we're not using right now. You know, we need to open up more. We have a whole spiritual side, and we can do so much more. And I think that if people start realizing that more, you know, I wish that when we were all little that they taught that, you know, they didn't teach that, you know, and if they would have, how far along would we all have been, you know?
And there hopefully will be a day when we do teach our children, and that education will be learning how to open up all of the dimensions of who we are, connected with the heart, all the dimensions of the brain with the heart, and learn how to do it. I mean, if we start as children, we will really know how to do it. And I also want to add that when we're talking about grief and people passing into the other dimension, it's a difficult aspect of life, grieving, but it's also, I think we need to remember that there is so much joy in the universe, and that, as my son had said to us from the other side, birth and death are events in time and space. There truly is nothing but life. And we come into this dimension and experience a birth and a death, which is a birth back into the other one. But I know my husband would often say, you know, there's so many things now on the earth happening that make us very sad, and that we know that there's work we have to do on the earth, but there's always time for joy. He said there's always time to really know that the resonance of the universe is love and joy. And it was interesting because maybe he said that for me, but I was feeling pretty filled with grief, and I had a vision of my son. And he had had, as a little kid, he had had some boots made out of snake skin, and he loved those boots. And I remember we went next door. There, three of his friends lived there. And when the mother opened the door, he just danced in them. He just thought they were so neat. Well, in this vision that I had, it was at night, and I saw him coming out of the north and dancing and to a music I couldn't hear, but I could feel it. And he obviously was just his hands and his feet, his whole body were in harmony with this music. And I could see that he had on snake boots. And he said to me, "Mom, dance life in snake boots." And aww. I loved that because I knew that snakes, of course, are transforming all the time. They shed their old skins and give birth to a new skin. And so he was saying, you know, die to the old and allow yourself to be born to the new. But there is also such joy in life, you know. And I had to, during those years, I had to really try to remember that. But there couldn't be grief if we hadn't had joy and love for someone. So we have to remember that grief and joy are very much a part of life.
Yes, I agree. And I think that's why, too, it's wonderful to be a part of, you know, Forever Family Foundation, because of their outlook and everything they do to help those going through grief and to remind us that it is love, you know, and that's where we all come from, which is, you know, a wonderful place.
It's absolutely true, and I can remember being in Connecticut at one of the summer grief retreats, and we met a couple. There were so many people there just in such deep grief, but when one of the mediums brought through, or their son came through a medium, and also the daughter of another couple there who had passed some time ago and revealed that they were together on the other side, but it was so powerful for that couple. I mean, they couldn't even smile. They could hardly look at anyone. They were in such deep grief. And when their son talked to them, and they knew that it was their son's consciousness, because it was just amazing, the connections and that he had made with the other young woman, and it was just so powerful that a few years later, you know, when we met you, Janet, in San Diego at that conference, I saw that couple there. And they were like a completely different couple. They really were joyful and doing work for others. It was just an incredible thing. And that was because they had had contact with their son on the other side. That made the whole difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and that's how it is. I mean, I've been to a number of those conferences, and, you know, and it's amazing what they do, and it's amazing what, you know, all the different speakers that come through, you know, and they give their presentations. And just, you know, that's what I love about Forever Family. You can go to their website, and there's so much to look at. You can spend, you know, days going through things. And I think that's what's good, is because there's so many people out there that come from such a different angle, and they all have different views, and there's something for everybody, you know. There's, no matter where you come from your grief, you know, you can find something on one of their pages, and it's just... That's one thing that I will, you know, I always look to Fran and Bob and think, you know, what wonderful human souls, you know, to be able to do that for other people. And, you know, and that came from a passion.
It did. And the great thing about them is that you could have so much fun with them. They were always filled with
yes,
joy and delight at things.
And they're both really funny. Fran was
true.
Very humorous. Oh, gosh.
Well,
but,
I guess... Is it just about that time?
It's just about time for Janet to leave us with some final words. And
okay.
I would just ask for our audience to join in with us on this and send some special love to Fran Ginsberg and Bob Ginsberg and Corey and Matt and Henry and all of their loved ones.
And John.
And Jonathan,
yes,
Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Please send
okay.
love to all of them. And we will send love to all of yours as well.
Yes. Okay. And may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you to all our wonderful listeners. We look forward to having you with us
the last Thursday of the month.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Night.